Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Off Topic Hot Topic, a bonus episode of the Hunting Seasons podcast. I'm Broderick Gordis.
I'm Paul Mitzi.
And I'm Liam Gordis.
The Cape might still find a second life on cable, and I'll tell you why.
Off Topic Hot Topic.
That's whatever you were talking about for you.
In case you don't know, Off Topic Hot Topic is where we talk about the headlines of the TV and entertainment world and discuss the stuff we've been watching, reading, playing, and generally consuming. You should also know that we love getting topic suggestions from our listeners, so if you'd like to contribute a question, topic, or story to Off Topic Hot Topic, you can do so by emailing us at contact@huntingseasonspodcast.com and don't bother tweeting at us. No, you can tweet us at HuntingSCast, though who knows how much longer. How you doing, boys? Thanks for joining me once again. Bailed at the last minute, so Liam, thanks for subbing in.
Literally 10 minutes ago, you rang me and said, hey, what are you doing?
Thank God you're not doing anything of importance. That's good. All right, let's start with some headlines, starting with News in Fuller.
Whoa, what?
It's back. Peacock has tapped famed Dead Like Me, Pushing Daisy, Star Trek Discovery, and Hannibal showrunner Brian Fuller, obviously, to head their Friday the 13th prequel series, Crystal Lake. Are you boys, A, fans of Friday the 13th, B, fans of Brian Fuller, and C, looking forward to this?
I am a fan of Friday the 13th. I've watched all the originals. I didn't watch, like, the newer, like, early 2000s or whatever that was, reboot. But the original, like, 70s Friday the 13th, I had a lot of fun with.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Fuller, yeah, like, Pushing Daisies, fantastic. I don't know if I want a prequel series to Friday the 13th, though.
Interesting, like, isn't it?
No appeal to me whatsoever, I have to say.
Liam?
I've never watched Friday the 13th. All the things I know about Brian Fuller are from this segment. I have watched Hannibal. I watched all of that, weirdly. I think it was during lockdown. It was okay.
So you've never watched Pushing Daisies?
Never watched Pushing Daisies. And the more I hear about Brian Fuller, the less I want to watch his stuff. That's the problem, right?
I forgot to mention American Gods as well.
Yep, that counts. Do you recommend him, Paul? Is that it?
Recommend Brian Fuller as a person?
I'm just trying to figure out why I don't like him.
I think he's recommending Pushing Daisies at this point.
Pushing Daisies and Hannibal. Is fantastic.
You've seen Hannibal.
Is he supposed to be awful in real life? I don't think so.
I don't think there's any suggestion he's awful in real life. I'm not doing this because I think Brian Fuller is a bad person. I've been making the News in Fuller segment because he keeps getting... keeps quitting or being fired from his show running jobs. Like every second day when we were doing the news segment, Brian Fuller was no longer the showrunner and becoming the showrunner of a different show he would no longer be the showrunner of. So it's now just a countdown to when Brian Fuller will no longer be the showrunner on Crystal
Guy.
Lake.
Poor guy.
The count is on. How many days will it be? Looking forward to that.
Let's take our bets.
Yeah. So how long is it going to be? Is it going to be before the first season comes out, like Star Trek Discovery? Is it going to be after season one, like American Gods? Is it going to go longer than that?
I reckon it's going to be halfway through the first season. They're filming it halfway through. He's done.
My bet is that he'll actually stop being showrunner when the show is cancelled after one season.
Yeah.
No one cares. That's my bet.
Paul?
Yeah, I am predicting 2 episodes in, he'll get replaced by Joss Whedon.
Listen, that's a long odds bet. If you pick that one, you're going to pick up a lot of money for it. That'd be get some good value out of that one. All right. In other headlines, Valet Angela Lansbury She's unfortunately passed away since the last time we recorded an off-topic hot topic. Star of stage and screen, and most notably on TV as Jessica Fletcher of Murder, She Wrote. She passed away at the age of 96. Do you guys have any particular fond memories, favourite roles for Angela Lansbury?
Yeah, I mean, Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks is my go-to as well.
Well, Mrs. Sure. Potts, I mean, like Beauty and the Beast, she's amazing.
I don't think I realized that she was Mrs. Potts when I was that age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, but you know her now.
I know her now. I know that now. But like, it wasn't like remember her in Beauty and the Beast? Because I didn't see her face, you know? Whereas Bedknobs and Broomsticks, we had fun. I feel like we had fun memories, Brod, of watching that movie.
It's fun that the last two times I've seen something with Angela Lansbury, it was both at the end of a career and the very start of a career. In when she did a cameo in Mary Poppins Returns.
Yeah.
Because Julie Andrews was too busy being the voice of the Kraken in Aquaman. And so then when we recently watched for our movie club, Gaslight, which was her first film role, I believe. So I've seen the full spectrum of Angela Lansbury.
Real cocky accent.
You know those memes that are like, take someone's name and then slightly alter it to be like the Angela Lens Clean and the Angela Lens Blurry is possibly my favourite one of those.
One of my favourites.
I also have to recommend her exercise video that she did in the 80s, which you can watch on YouTube.
Excuse me, guys, I can't do this anymore. I gotta go.
And there's a segment from that exercise video where she's having a bubble bath and talking about her sexuality, which is like an amazing thing to watch. So it's
from
on YouTube.
From the exercise video?
Yeah, well, because it's all about like... people of a certain age, like being in touch with their bodies. But yeah, if you YouTube Angela Lansbury like bubble bath or bathtub, you'll find it.
I'll try and put it in the show notes if I remember to do it.
Every time we do one of these off-topic hot topics, about an hour after we finish, Paul sends us both a message with a link to something on YouTube. This is what it's got to be.
Excellent. In similar news, rest in peace, Kevin Conroy, longtime voice actor of Batman from the animated series through to the Arkham City games and beyond. I didn't really know Kevin Conroy. I'm not sure he was known for much else. He probably did voice roles in other places. He probably had live-action acting roles now, but definitely his Batman became iconic. Mark Hamill, who voiced the Joker opposite Conroy, tweeted, "He was one of my favorite people on the planet. I loved him like a brother. He truly cared for the people around him. His decency shone through everything he did. Every time I saw him or spoke to him, my spirits were elevated." So sad news there. Do you guys have any particular fond memories of his Batman?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching the animated series, which, you know, is to this day one of the best depictions of the character, I think. Was he the guy that voiced him in Harley Quinn as well?
Not in the... No. The Harley Quinn Batman is not him, no.
Okay.
That's they're all stunt casted, those ones, I'm pretty sure. Mm. I'm not sure. I reckon I could tell you. Who's the guy? He's one of the guys from the Drew Carey show, I think, does the voice of Batman.
Ferguson.
Which one's he? Who did he play?
No, he's the Scottish one. It's not him.
No. Oh, not Craig Ferguson. No, it wasn't
Merida's dad.
No, not Craig Ferguson. Merida's dad. Merida's dad was Billy Connolly, mate.
Ah. No, he is in Brave.
He is one
Brave.
Of them, though.
He is in Brave.
Yeah, one of those guys, I'm pretty sure, is the voice.
Not the one that was on Whose Lines Anyway.
Not the one who's on Whose Lines Anyway, the other one. Not Drew Carey. Anyway.
Mimi.
Yeah,
so it was Mimi.
It was Mimi. No, he... definitely for me, probably. I didn't watch the animated show that much, but his stuff in the Arkham games is the bit that stands out for me. Platinum, those three games. They were great. All right. Elf-eared listeners may have noted that I went with a community quote into the intro for a second off-topic hot topic in a row, and with good reason. We've moved from the dream of a community movie remains alive phase to Peacock has officially announced that a community movie is in the works. Joel McHale, Danny Pudi, Alison Brie, Gillian Jacobs, Jim Rash, and Ken Jeong are all announced to be returning. Although Yvette Nicole Brown and Donald Glover have not yet been officially announced, signs are good they'll also return in some capacity, except doesn't like Chevy Chase be coming back, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we're not sure about any of the main characters that were added in seasons 5 and 6 at this point. Apparently, there was a bit of a bidding war with multiple networks in competitions to secure the rights, which is a bit exciting. Mm-hmm. No idea on the story, nor when we can expect it to arrive. Also, no idea on who will direct the movie. But they've had some pretty incredible directors on the show, including Justin Lin, Richard Ayoade, and the fucking Russo brothers, who directed probably the most of any directors on the show.
Imagine.
So they've got some pretty big names to potentially tap there.
Imagine if the Russo brothers came back for this film.
That would be amazing. I know they're very, 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 very busy these days. Not doing Marvel stuff, but doing lots of their own stuff. But they directed the pilot. They really set the tone for what that show looks and feels like. It would be perfect if they what did. I think it would be the best option.
And the most meta thing they can do is Abed standing there alone, and then he just hears, "Abed, on your left," and then Troy comes out.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
You heard it here first.
Are we excited for the Community movie?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Like, we've been asking for this for so long. I mean,
I've been reporting on every rumor and scrap of little piece of information and possibility of it happening for years, yeah.
The best thing about it, right, is clearly the cast wanted to do it. Like, it's not, doesn't feel like anyone's being forced to go, "Oh no, contractually we said you're going to do this, blah blah blah." It's every single one of them wanted to do it. And because, I mean, you can't go past the table read they did for during COVID. Clearly all of them are still great friends, even though they did cut Donald Glover out of a message group. And the fact that they even then after that did an episode and just hung out of The Darkest Timeline, clearly they are really good friends and they want to do it, and they miss each other and they want to do it. So it's like it's the best case scenario if you're going to bring something back like this.
Do we have any concerns?
Oh, I mean, there's always the risk it's going to suck and we're all going to be crushed. But let's hope it'll just be the Gas Leak
episode. Gas Leak movie.
But, yeah. I mean, we've already had a pretty awful season of the show. So, I feel like, you know, we've experienced the lows. So
we've proven that someone coming back from that can make the show good again. Hmm. So, I have faith in Dan Harmon to be able to pull that together.
I don't think the chemistry won't be there. I think the cast chemistry will be there no matter what. That would be easy. Because they have remained obviously so close in real life, which is great. I guess the question is, what part of Community does it lean into? Does it lean into doing the meta stuff? Is that going to be enough? Is there a good idea out there? But honestly, any more Community in any form, whether it be another 20-minute episode or an hour and a half movie or whatever it is, I'm excited for. We could always do with more Community, I think. I'm just stoked it's officially fucking happening now after all this time. Yes.
I'm not worried at all that they don't have a good idea for it. I don't think they would do it unless they had a good idea.
Unless they were desperate for money. Although, no, you know, that's not even true.
Let's think about them all.
The thing is, Community is not a massive moneymaker. What'd you say?
I don't think any of them are really Dan Harmon's not desperate for money. He's got
Rick
and Morty killing it. Alison Brie's doing great things. Danny Pudi's doing great things. Ken Jeong and John McHale are on reality TV shows as hosts. Gillian Jacobs also doing good things. Like, yeah. I mean, Donald Glover, I guess he's doing some stuff.
I guess he's busy.
Yeah. So it's like, they're not doing it because of that.
That's true.
I think if Chevy Chase came back, he would be.
In other reports, Deadline is reporting that Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul team Vince Gilligan and Ray Sehorn, I believe her name is, have been given the go-ahead for a 2-season show on Apple TV+. Like the Community movie, but probably with much bigger numbers, there was also a bidding war for the post-Better Call Saul series, with Apple winning out with a multi-year deal. So that's why it's got 2 seasons off the bat. Not much is known about what the series will be, but there have been rumors it might be veering towards science fiction, possibly in the realm of The Twilight Zone. Are we excited about Vince Gilligan's next series? Wow. Resounding not really, apparently.
I mean, As long as it's not in that universe, I think
apparently
he's done
not.
That.
It sounds like he's moving on from that. Yeah,
that's good. I mean, I'll be excited to see if what else he does. Like, because all I've known of him is Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
He not started, that I've watched I think, Call on Saul. The X-Files. Was his like?
Oh, interesting. He's going back to his roots.
Yeah, that's what sounds like. He might be going back to his sci-fi.
Oh, imagine if he just brought back the X-Files.
That's been done multiple times already. And
imagine how bad that would be if he brought back the X-Files.
The Y-Files. I guess I'm excited about this.
Why are we making it?
I need to go back and watch. I haven't watched Better Call Saul yet. That's the thing well. Which is probably why I'm not super stoked at this point, but I'll get to it one day. Have you watched Better Call Saul, Paul? Okay.
Better Call Paul.
Warner Brothers Discovery have announced that James Gunn is now the creative head of the DCEU. From Sam Bersanti at the AV Club, quote, Gunn and Peter Safran will serve as co-chairs and co-CEOs of the newly formed DC Studios division, which replaces the now defunct DC Films label, which was most recently run by Walter Hamada, who left the company over some pretty clear frustrations over how Warner Brothers Discovery was running things. The plan is for Gunn to focus on creative stuff, while Safran focuses on business stuff, with both of them apparently free to continue directing and producing other things as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. Are we excited? I don't know anything about Peter Safran. He sounds like the businessman. He's the money man. Are we excited about James Gunn taking over as head of the DCEU, doing the Kevin Feige of the DC stuff?
Yeah, like his Suicide Squad movie was probably the best thing out of this whole like run
and
of
his Peacemaker
DC
TV show
and
too.
And the Peacemaker TV show. So if he's going to bring that energy to everything, I don't know if we need like an interconnected everything going together as one like Marvel. If he's happy to just do a bunch of like weird offbeat movies and TV shows, like I'm all for that.
I don't think as creative head that's likely to be the case though. I think they are tapping him to try and create a bigger world of some sort, make it a cohesive behemoth like the MCU. I guess I just trust that James Gunn kind of understands what that entails.
He's seen behind the curtain.
He has seen behind the curtain. He's made two great Guardians films and worked alongside other directors in Taika Waititi and what else was Guardians in? And the Russo brothers and stuff like that when they've been playing with his Guardians characters and obviously with Kevin Feige directly. I think he's a great choice and just obviously understands how to make quality character-driven and entertaining content.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And so while he might not be the biggest aficionado on DC necessarily, I think he will still be able to tap into the essence of characters like Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman and these sorts of characters and all sorts of weird ones that I'm not even aware of, probably Plastic Man or I don't know. There's so many of them. Mm-hmm. And do some fun things there and maybe make me care about the DCEU finally is probably the big thing.
Yeah, I don't think I'm excited so much for him to be part of the, you know, to be running the DCEU. I'm excited for him that he's running, that he's gotten that opportunity because he's...
Sure.
Because, like, he... Obviously, he had... There were some things that Disney didn't like, were forced into. And then he was able to prove himself. And so... Yeah, I'm excited that
thank
he's
you for reminding me of that. The fucking trolls came after him,
mm-hmm.
tried to ruin his career. Not only has he resurrected it, he has now taken over as creative head.
Yeah.
And taken over from their Snyder god.
Exactly.
The DCU.
So Snyder, like, has been made it very clear that he still wants to be part of this DCU.
Oh, he can be part of it. He just can't be in charge of it anymore. He can't be... You know, setting the tone or the agenda for these things anymore. Yeah, if he wants to be a part of it, that's fine.
Yeah, he can't be J.J. Abramsing this like he did with Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like he's not there to make the decisions and sway people. Like I don't think James Gunn would let that happen.
No, James Gunn is going to be the one who has creative control. Mm. Snyder was setting the tone before this. When they try to use him as their sort of overall vision, it's going to be Gunn now. So, yeah, he can direct a film or whatever. He can be involved. But, yeah, I think that's incredibly... That's an incredible turnaround from where we were 5-6 years ago, whenever that went down. That's amazing. I, Yeah, go on. Sorry, Paul.
He's been given the greatest gift of all, which is Henry Cavill returning.
That's true.
To as well. And, like, I'm so excited to see what he does with Henry Cavill because the potential hasn't been used yet.
Yes.
Like, he has the potential to be the best ever Superman.
Absolutely.
And I feel like we're going to see it. I hope we're going to see it.
Do you think that was ever a part of the reason? I know Rock's saying he's the reason that Henry Cavill, or Cavill, has apparently, so it said, came back. Surely there was must have been some idea that Gunn was going to be taking over, and that must have been involved in sort of getting him back.
Yeah. Did you, on that topic, The Rock, has anyone watched Black Adam?
Not yet.
No. I have no plans to.
Me either.
Especially based on how it's reviewing. Kind of funny guys talk about it being one of the worst superhero films they've ever seen, I'm pretty sure I don't need to see it anytime soon. Maybe a little intoxicated when it's streaming.
Yeah, I don't want to pay money, but I'll probably watch it on streaming.
Yeah.
When it hits binge, I'll watch it.
That being said, I am excited to maybe care about the DCEU because Guardians were characters didn't know anything about. James Gunn made me give a shit about them. They're my favorite part of the MCU. He just has a way of getting to the point of making you care about characters. He just knows how to do that sort of work. And so I'd love to give a shit about Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman and stuff like that. I really would.
Here's my impression of what's going to happen, all right? I'm one of the trolls on the internet. How dare you MCU people come over as soon as James Gunn takes over. You guys, you're only here. This is all bullshit. That's my impression of what's going to happen.
Wow.
If we start
liking
it. I'm sure
that didn't offend anybody who's listening.
Well, it's not my podcast.
Due to recent developments in the real world, HBO documentary series The Case Against Adnan Syed will be getting an additional episode. Have you guys been following? First of all, have you seen The Case Against Adnan Syed, the HBO documentary that's sort of a follow-up to the first season of Serial, the podcast that blew up about, 8 years ago, whatever it was, about the murder of the girl Haemin Lee in Baltimore, and Adnan Syed, who was the ex-boyfriend, tried and found guilty of her murder under very limited evidence, has now been released because the state has decided they can't actually stand behind their own theory of the case anymore.
Apparently there's new DNA evidence to suggest he wasn't involved.
The DNA evidence is that they didn't find any DNA evidence out of his DNA on the stuff that was tested, basically.
Mm. But they do have more suspects, apparently, as well.
Yes, there were two. Well, part of the reason... Okay, yes, we're getting into the weeds of it now.
Well, I'm just trying to explain
totally
the reason he was released.
Yes, they've found new, basically they've come across new evidence potentially that wasn't disclosed to the defense, importantly, that could potentially exonerate Adnan. Anyway, point being, did you guys listen to Serial? Liam, I know you did. Paul, did you listen to Serial?
I listened to a couple of episodes and then I remembered that I fucking hate true crime and I stopped listening.
I mean, that was the funny thing. This was sort of the real start of true crime as a podcast concept. Mm. It sort of set the whole thing on fire. Things like My Favorite Murder and all those ones really became popular on the coattails of Serial. I would argue those are the ones that kind of ruined and really tarnished the idea of true crime as a podcast format. But I'm guessing then you didn't watch the documentary series?
No.
Liam?
Yes, I listened to Serial when it came out. And after this news came out, I re-listened to all of Serial again.
As did I.
And I had less... one of my biggest criticisms the first time I listened to it was that Sarah Koenig was seen very biased towards Adnan.
Yes.
And, like, we thought that she, you know, maybe she's not looking at it objectively. The second time I listened to it, I think that less.
I actually thought it was the other way. I felt like at every turn, she ended every episode where she had been more and more and more convinced that it wasn't him, then finding that one piece that would end the episode saying, but this is the reason I still think he did it.
Mm.
It's like, so the button was always, I don't believe him, basically, or I can't fully commit to believing him. I also listened to another podcast called Undisclosed, which was made by Rabia Chowdhury, the woman who initially told Sarah Koenig about Adnan's case, and mm-hmm. then goes on with two other lawyers to really pick apart. And it's very obviously this is a very one-sided podcast because it's all about people who already believe that Adnan. These are people who already believe that Adnan's innocent, but like picking apart the prosecution's case bit by bit and the evidence that convicted him. And that was very convincing, and is even more convincing when you realize that this the same arguments they made are the reasons that the state has now dropped Adnan's case.
Yeah.
And interesting listening back to Serial as well. Serial, I think I'm more critical of also, it sort of, I guess, when it happened, people felt like it was like, this is going to be a investigation that tries to figure out who the murderer was, which is sort of how Sarah did this. All I got to do is find this piece of evidence that, like, exonerates this guy, and ends up being a really wishy-washy piece of... It's not really great journalism. It's good storytelling. It's terrible journalism, I think. I think Serial's gotten better in season 2 and 3 at doing that, but also became less sensational, and so less people listened to it, even though the reporting was way more quality in the seasons that followed. Point being, if you're interested in this, there's plenty of news about it. And the case against Adnan Syed, a documentary I haven't watched because it's been hard to get in Australia. You have to pay for it on Apple TV, is getting another episode. And I will almost definitely be watching that because apparently I have a lot of access to Adnan. And keeping an eye on the news about where all that goes. Paramount Plus are finally ready for tossed salad and scrambled eggs, officially picking up the long gestating Frasier reboot. The show still doesn't have an official title, and all we really know about the show is that we'll follow Frasier living in another city with characters from the Cheers. With no characters from the Cheers nor Frasier TV shows returning. If that makes sense. I think he's saying Frasier. That's how you say it.
So not Niall.
No, they're not going to be not in a main character capacity. It is possible, like how Cheers characters kept showing up in Frasier. Is it Lillian? What's his wife's name?
Lillian, yeah.
Kept showing up in different episodes and so forth. And I think Sam comes over at one stage and half the characters do from Cheers. That characters like Niles and Daphne and stuff might show up in this new Frasier show, but they won't be main characters. Are we excited for Frasier version 3?
No. That sounds fucking terrible. What kind of question is that?
You don't like Frasier?
What was that?
You don't like Frasier? Frasier?
Yeah, I like Frasier, but that this version of it sounds fucking awful.
Yeah, why? Right. Like, yeah. Why bring it back? Because he wasn't the best bit of it. Yeah, those characters were the best bit of that show.
That's true. I guess the thing is, it's worked twice. Like, Frasier was on Cheers, then Frasier did Frasier. This is the third version of this. If it's worked once... At least once, if not twice before, why wouldn't it work a third time?
Probably because I don't think that world exists anymore, that those shows were poking fun at. I don't think it's as topical as it may have been then.
You don't think there's
not if it's Frasier. Not if it's Frasier. Oh, okay. I take that back. He better be a billionaire and buying podcasting network or something.
He's going to be a podcaster, surely. Yeah. He has to be a podcaster. There's no way around it.
Everyone's getting therapy now. How's that not fun anymore? Like, people call in. Everyone's getting therapy now. It's like, it's a lot more mainstream. It's not a thing that people are making fun of a lot, you know, back then.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah. Yeah,
the stigma's gone of therapy.
Sure. I'm gonna miss that Niles and Daphne are gonna be main characters in this. And obviously the dad, since that actor has passed away, but
and the dog.
And Kelsey Grammer, yeah, you're right, was never the best bit. And the dog too has also passed away, it's a good point. I don't know. I know friends of ours will be excited about this though.
Oh, I know I'll definitely try and watch at least the first episode.
I'll check it out for sure.
What's it going to be on?
Paramount Plus.
Okay.
Previously announced War Machine MCU show Armor Wars is no longer going to be a TV show, but a direct-to-streaming Disney Plus movie. How do we feel about this news? What does this make you feel?
I wasn't excited about that to begin with. Just the title and also the logo design made me go, that looks shit. It looked like a Robot Wars.
No fan of War Machine? No fan of Don Cheadle's character? I can't remember the... Roadie, that's right.
I mean, take him or leave him. He's not really an important part of the MCU for me.
I think we've had that criticism of a lot of MCU TV shows that a lot of them could have been movies instead.
My thought exactly, Paul. So, it's like someone finally went, you know what? This will make a shit TV show, but maybe we'll make an okay movie.
Which is interesting, right? Because someone said the criticism, I'm not going to spoil anything for this because we might be talking about it later. Someone gave me the criticism today about Wakanda Forever. It could have been a 3 or 4 part miniseries to delve deeper into some of the aspects of that film rather than a film. And I'm like, oh, okay, interesting.
I can see that. But we'll talk about it more in depth after.
We'll talk about that in spoilers.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily excited for Armor Wars either, but I did think that was like, did someone finally figure it out that, you know what, we don't have to stretch this out over 5 or 6 episodes. Let's just make a 2-hour movie. That might be a strong instinct and follow that more often, Marvel.
And yes, I feel like it's going to be pretty interweaved with like Secret Wars as well, right? Considering Rhodey.
But maybe.
And like the trailers and stuff for that have Rhodey in it and whatever.
I don't know. I think in the comics, the Armor Wars arc is like Rhodey having to like track down a bunch of Stark tech that was stolen, essentially. Like,
sounds like a TV show.
Yes, it does. It doesn't sound like it's not. I wouldn't say it's a theatrical movie, but maybe it'll make for a good, you know, 2-hour Disney Plus film. Meanwhile, development has reportedly begun on Disney Plus of a WandaVision follow-up centered around Paul Bettany's character Vision, potentially titled Vision Quest. WandaVision creator Jack Schaefer is also apparently involved, just as she is with the upcoming Agatha Coven of Chaos. It's also been suggested that Elizabeth Moss's Wanda might make some sort of appearance Elizabeth Olsen. I wrote this very late last night. Elizabeth Olsen's Wanda might make some sort of appearance in the show, but who knows in what capacity. Listen, Elizabeth Moss might be Wanda in a different alternate universe. You don't know.
Just only Elizabeths.
Just only all Elizabeths. Liz Hurley gets to have a go as Wanda. Who else is there?
Lizzie McGuire.
That's not a real person. That's Hilary Duff. That doesn't count.
It's a multiverse. It doesn't matter.
Elizabeth, what's her name from Zack and Miri?
Yeah, Elizabeth Debicki.
Banks. You're
Elizabeth
of.
Banks, yeah.
Sure.
I'd like to see it.
Are we excited about this potential Vision-centered show, Vision Quest?
Only because of how much I loved WandaVision.
Totally.
Mm.
Schaefer is involved as well. I mean, if she's behind it, that's awesome. Yeah. She did such a good job with WandaVision.
I'm way more excited about that than I am about Armor Wars.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, you're more invested in the character of Vision. And also where we left off with Vision was a very interesting place. No spoilers for WandaVision, but like where that left off leaves a lot of question marks. I didn't have any question marks about Rhodey after the last time we saw him.
My question mark is
in Falcon Winter Soldier. Yes,
this 2-hour film with Rhodey in it will more than double his screen time in every MCU film he's been in so far.
That's what they're doing, mate. This is What do you think WandaVision did for Wanda and Vision? It mate brought those characters in the background to the foreground.
I mean, Wanda and Vision had way more screen time than Rhodey has had in the MCU.
That's not true.
Absolutely,
he was in the first Iron Man, the second Iron Man.
He wasn't in the first Iron Man. That was a different actor.
But it was a different same character.
Don Cheadle wasn't. Rhodey was, though.
Yeah, and let's just remember that Don Cheadle won an Emmy for his 2 seconds in the Falcon and the
Winter Soldier. He did, exactly right.
That's fucking ridiculous.
I forgot about that. meanwhile, with Indiana
Jones... They're trying to get him an Oscar. That's what it is. He's trying to get Don Cheadle that Oscar.
I don't think he can get an Oscar for a streaming movie, unfortunately. meanwhile, with Indiana Jones 5 on the way, Disney has begun developing an indie TV series for Disney+. Apparently, not even Disney knows if this show will be a sequel, prequel, spin-off, or reboot. So it's anyone's guess at this point. How do you feel about the idea of an Indiana Jones Disney+ TV show?
Bron and I talked about this. Rod and I talked about this before seeing Black Panther.
Yes.
And we threw around ideas for who could play maybe a younger Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Keery from Stranger Things plays it in there now. Anyway,
he has the energy, but I don't know if he has the looks. He's an attractive person. Like, he's very attractive, but he's not in the same way as Harrison Ford.
Who's the guy that plays Billy?
The
Australian guy.
Billy? Oh, yeah, he's got an interesting name.
The Australian guy. Anyway, the guy with the mullet. He's got the looks that you would expect from an Indiana Jones than Joe Keery.
Yeah. I mean, but last time they...
Montgomery. Just came to me,
Isn't it Dacre Montgomery? I think that's
D-A-C-R-E. I don't know. It's a stupid name.
They figured more on... they focused more on how Harrison Ford looked younger. They kind of screwed it up. With Solo. So let's not think about how he looks and how he acts. Let's just think about it as its own thing.
Well, we have had a whole franchise of movies of a young Indiana Jones already.
Or a TV show. There have been multiple people who have already played young versions of Indiana Jones. And I think an aged up, in his 90s Indiana Jones. So it's not like a recast is anything new. I still love the idea they should do a Short Round series.
Yeah.
Now that that actor is back, thanks to Everything Everywhere All at Once, come out of
still
retirement.
Still haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. pass the fedora to him. He is the obvious torch bearer, or the person to pass the torch to, I think.
Hopefully it's about like something that people care about. It's not like the Friday the 13th reboot where it's about the Crystal Lake and no one gives a fuck.
It's about the crystal skulls. That's what it's about.
Now, I suppose you can't make a Henry Jones one because he wasn't exposed to... He definitely didn't have a past of being an adventurer before The Last Crusade. Anyway. Jodie Whittaker's run on Doctor Who has come to an end.
Yes.
Shia
LaBeouf. Clearly we need to make a Shia LaBeouf.
That's not even funny. Jodie Whittaker's run on Doctor Who has come to an end, but rather than regenerating into the previously announced new Doctor Shuti Gatwa, she instead changed into David Tennant. While Tennant was already the 10th Doctor under the then and again now showrunner Russell T Davies, he's officially been dubbed as the 14th Doctor this time around, with Gatwa presumably being the 15th Doctor when he eventually arrives. Tennant will appear for a series of 3 episodes in November of 2023 as part of Doctor Who's 60th anniversary. The biggest news, however, might be that going forward, Doctor Who will stream internationally on Disney Plus in a deal that apparently includes an increase in budget for the show, which in the past has basically been held together by string and sticky tape. The show will still air on the BBC in the UK, but this is the first time in 60 years that Doctor Who hasn't been on the ABC in Australia. So a lot of big news there. First, the David Tennant news, but also the Disney Plus news. Any reactions to this? Paul, you don't have ever watched the show, so... I can't imagine you give a shit.
I think this might be the first time I watch Doctor Who with this new reboot.
I reckon it would be a good time to jump in. I reckon with a showrunner change, with David Tennant coming back, it'll be a bit of nostalgia, but I think he'll find a way to make it accessible for everybody.
You could probably skip the David Tennant stuff if you really needed to.
Jump to Shuti Gatwa.
Because clearly this David Tennant thing is... I mean, yes, it's awesome to have him back, but like it's... That's going to bring people back to the show. Like, think about it. It's already had such a big impact.
Bringing back the fans they've lost.
Exactly.
From that era, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, they bring him back, they bring the audience back, they make it more accessible. This could be another regeneration.
Well, apparently it's one of the UK's biggest exports at the moment is Doctor Who. Like, it's doing... gangbuster numbers, not just in terms of like people who are watching it, but in terms of the merchandise and stuff. It's a huge brand now, and the idea of it being on Disney Plus, not quite having its own channel like Star Wars and Marvel, but being there you're getting that like new episode this week front page treatment that people are going to see while they're also searching to go watch The Lion King or whatever else is... Should pick your version, whichever version you prefer. I'll judge you on it, but pick your version. Is very exciting in terms of potential brand growth. And also, but when Russell T. Davies, before he was cut, he was coming back as showrunner, had said that if he was in charge of Doctor Who now, and he now is, he would try and do an MCU and have spin-offs, which people have been asking for a long time. There's already, we've had spin-off shows like Torchwood and the Sarah Jane Chronicles, but like, could we finally get some time with Paul Gann as the Eighth Doctor beyond just his one movie and then a couple of cameos and his audiobook stuff? Like, Paul McGann, sorry. Like, this is the... Or could we even get, like, if David Tennant and Joyce come back to the role, go and do a spin-off series that involves more of the 14th Doctor, or go back to the 10th Doctor adventures we didn't see, or... get Matt Smith to come back and do a miniseries or whatever. Spin-offs with Donna and Amy and Rory and fucking, oh, yeah, like...
just keeping up like with the companion ponds. Stuff. Yes, please.
Yeah. just like a sitcom of the Ponds would be great.
That would be amazing. I don't need to see them in outer space or different times. I just need to see them at home.
What happened to the Doctor's daughter from the episode The Doctor's Daughter? I think her name was Jenny. Like,
let's
I
have a River Song.
A River like Song
a young,
series.
A young River Song series.
A River Song series. One of her other regenerations that we didn't see. Like, there are so many things you could do now that with the budget. And even just the idea that Doctor Who is going to look, you know, potentially look on par with, like, a Disney Marvel show or something like that. I do worry that a budget might ruin the magic of Doctor Who to some degree. But I know, it's exciting times. I'm excited.
Me too.
Paul, either jump on now or at least jump on at the start of Matt Smith's run. No, you're a fan of Matt Smith now, right?
Yeah, I've decided I'm going to start with this new series.
Okay, you can go back. I went back, and that's how
Brod
I...
Brod has a list in his... He keeps in his wallet
I can.
Of all the best episodes to watch if you want to get into Doctor
Who. I just hand
them
out to people on the street.
Yeah, they're laminated. Like,
do you join the church of Doctor Who? These are the episodes you need to watch to get into it.
It doesn't door knocking, yeah. Basically. Have you heard about Lord and Saviour?
Yeah.
The Doctor.
The Doctor. he might legitimately be the Doctor. They might legitimately be my favorite fictional character in all of any media ever, just because of how versatile and like evergreen they are.
Yeah, you can just refresh that.
I still think Doctor Who is the most brilliant TV show in terms of its ability to just in universe refresh itself whenever it needs to. It's fucking genius. It's run for 60 years for a reason. Anyway, in casting news, Henry Cavill, or Cavill, will not be returning as Geralt of Rivia for Netflix's third season of their Witcher series. Nevertheless, the show will go on with Liam Hemsworth taking over.
Fourth season.
Sorry. You're right. He will be returning for the third season. After the third season's done, thank you. Wrote this very late. From fourth season onwards, he will be replaced
Elizabeth
by
Moss.
Liam Hemsworth, taking over as the titular Witcher. How do you feel about this news, Paul?
I am so hyped because this means I get to stop watching the show.
Not the reaction I was expecting.
This show... I maintain is like one of the worst written shows on TV. It's fucking terrible, but I watch it because of Henry Cavill. He's gotten me through it. Whenever he's not on screen, I'm always saying, "Where is Henry Cavill?" Which unfortunately is a lot. And all the other characters, all of them are just terrible. And I hate all of them. It's a blessing. It's a blessing, truly, that he is leaving the show. And apparently he is leaving the show because he was very unhappy with the writing. He loves this franchise.
Yes.
And he's just seeing it go further and further away from the source material, which he's so passionate about.
Yeah.
And I understand it. It's a truly awful show. I don't understand how Damas loves it so much.
I hate to bring this up again, but how bad can it be? You love Upload.
You know what? At least in Upload, you know what's going on. That's true. Like, yeah. Season one of The Witcher, the season finale, I still didn't know when in the timeline we were. Like, they're jumping around in four different timelines. All the characters don't age, and they don't use any other way of differentiating between the timelines. I think they were trying to be clever, but what it means is that you have no idea when anything is happening, what relation to everyone else is, and it's just awful. It's just an awful show.
Clearly, you need to do an episode of Hunting Seasons about The Witcher and have Paul on, because I would listen to that. I haven't watched the show because I tried to watch the first couple of episodes, and yeah, I was confused.
It's terrible. Angry is my blood, especially because I've sat through two seasons of it. It makes me even angrier.
I haven't watched any of the show yet. I haven't got around to trying. So I don't have any investment, but it just should be said, it does not seem like this is an upgrade. Good luck keeping your audience when Liam Hemsworth, no judgment on Liam, but you ain't no Henry Cavill, mate. Aubrey Plaza is joining WandaVision spin-off Agatha Coven of Chaos. In an interview with Vanity Fair about being diagnosed with MS while filming WandaVision, Emma Caulfield, who played Dottie, and more importantly, Anya and Buffy, announced she will also be returning for Coven of Chaos. That was a very sad news story as well, her talking about her MS diagnosis as well, but I'm excited for her to be in this new Agatha Harkness show. Are we excited about either Emma Caulfield and or Aubrey Plaza being in this new show?
Absolutely. Love them both.
Love both.
It seems like a little obvious casting to have Aubrey Plaza in a witch show, but, you know, lean into what you're good at, I guess.
Yeah, because isn't that her Twitter handle is like Awful Witch or
something like that. Yeah. I mean, I just think of April more than anything.
We don't know if she's going to be a witch.
We don't, but it's coven of chaos. Not going to be. Guess. Well, I mean, there were rumors that she was a witch in WandaVision. It didn't really pan out that way, but it could still turn into that.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible either. Gwendolyn Christie, Alia Shawkat, Merritt Weaver, and John Noble are all joining Apple TV Plus's and Ben Stiller's breakout sci-fi series Severance for season 2, which began production in the last month. That's a fucking good list of new cast members for a show that is already stacked with an excellent cast.
I am very excited.
If this casting announcement was that all the new characters were going to be played by Liam Hemsworth, I'd still be excited. This show, they could do whatever. I trust them, you know.
Right now, us not doing a Severance season 1 review episode is my biggest regret for this year, because it really is probably my standout show for the year so far, and we didn't review it properly. I'm super excited for season 2, and that's a fucking stacked cast to be joining them. That's very exciting. After being teased in the final episode of season 1, Tony Danza is officially joining, and just like that, he will apparently appear as himself, who in show universe will be acting in a sitcom opposite the character of Che. How do you feel about this, Paul? I won't even bother asking you, Paul.
Well, I know we all love Che, so this casting—you're right. This casting announcement means that we'll get a lot more Che screen time because she's obviously they're building the Che universe and introducing to all the things that made her made them who they are. Yeah. So, how could you go wrong? Like, so good.
In cancellation news, just one season short of completing its supposed 5-season plan, HBO has cancelled Westworld.
Woohoo!
Did you end up watching
biggest twist yet?
Did you end up watching season 4, Paul?
I watched the first episode and I was struggling and I gave up.
Yeah. Well done on finally getting there, or not just trying to, you know, scramble through. Maybe this is the one upside of the Warner Bros Discovery merger is that they were went, wait a second, why are we spending money on this show that no one's watching as it has turned to shit more and more every season? But yeah, boy, did they take a long time to cancel this show.
Yeah,
they had one excellent season and nothing else.
Well, you know, season four was the later seasons.
Yes, yeah. season four.
So that actually cost like $30 million more for as a total season than House of the Dragon, the new House of the Dragon. So they actually were paying more money for Westworld season four than they did for House of the Dragon, which obviously outrated it like tenfold or whatever.
I think this needs some sort of like investigation from like that sounds like a money embezzling scheme. There's no way they should be spending that sort of money on.
Yeah, apparently it was $165 million to make season four of Westworld.
Well,
and they had to cast the same character four times in House of the Dragon, like four different actors play for
these.
That's
true.
How are they saving that much money?
While they're in a cancelling mood, HBO also cancelled the officially announced but not quite yet in production latest revival of Degrassi. Any thoughts on this, Paul? Upset? I think Damask would be upset if she wasn't to respond to it. I'm not sure if you're invested in Degrassi or not.
I mean, I watched it as a kid. But okay. I don't think I watched any of the like versions after that. So
gotcha. The Queer as Folk reboot Paul brought up in our last Off Topic Hot Topic has been cancelled after one season on Peacock. Thoughts on that, Paul?
Look, I watched it all and I liked it, but I can understand because like all the characters were cunts. You can't make a show with zero likable or relatable characters and then expect it to go more than one season unless, you know, the show has some self-awareness about that and that's the point of the show. But I think the show wanted you to like these people but also made them just be selfish cunts constantly.
Yeah.
But it's sad because there was a lot of representation on the show that we obviously don't get in a lot of shows. But yeah, you do better, you know. If you want representation on TV, make a good show about those characters.
Cost $130 million, $30 million more than House of Dragon. The CW has cancelled superhero show Stargirl after its third season. Superman and Lois is the last Arrowverse show left on the network that once had what felt like about 600 DC comic shows on air at once. So, yeah, they're apparently shifting to a more, like, older demographic. And so all those superhero shows are basically on their ticking clocks.
People love Superman and Lois.
Yeah,
I've heard really good things about it. I've not watched it myself because it doesn't interest me, but apparently it's great.
A tweet from Colin Mockery has revealed that the revival of Whose Line Is It Anyway, which we talked about earlier already, will film its last episode in January of 2023. No explanation was given, but Whose Line has lived alongside Stargirl on the CW. So that might explain why, as they go on a cancellation spree. An animated comedy, Tuca and Birdie, has been cancelled for a second time. Netflix originally cancelled the show after just one season, and after getting picked up on Adult Swim, continued for a further two seasons. Did anyone end up kind of watching, anyone here watch Tuca and Birdie?
Damask loved it.
No, she didn't.
Oh, I thought she did.
She watched, I think, the first episode and didn't think much of it from memory.
Remember somebody loving it.
Yeah, she might have gone back to it. Maybe she went back to it, but I don't remember ever talking about it.
Okay, much. No.
She was, yeah, I don't know. Paul, did you?
No.
Okay. Same release date news.
That made BoJack, right?
Some people involved with BoJack, yeah. It's not the creator of BoJack, but I think people who were involved with BoJack from memory.
Right.
In release date news, Natasha Lyonne led and Rian Johnson created murder mystery series Poker Face will premiere on Peacock on January 26th. Are we excited for Poker Face?
Yeah. My arms are waving for the podcast.
How long until Glass Onion comes out? That's in December too, isn't it? Is that Boxing Day, actually?
I think it's a little... Oh, maybe.
Something like
that. I thought it was
yes, I think so. I think it is because Knives Out came on Boxing Day. Came out on Boxing Day. I'm pretty sure that Glass Onion is also coming out on Boxing Day.
I thought it was November 24th.
Oh, if it's sooner, I'll be happy. Mm. Either way, between Glass Onion, which has already had a bunch of people, glowing reviews from people who saw it on the the film festival.
23rd of November.
Sweet.
Oh, yes.
Excellent. On like Netflix?
9 days.
Or is it being released in theaters first?
I think the week prior, it's getting a small theatrical release, and then that's
might
Netflix
have to go and get a ticket to that. Absolutely. But that, and then what?
Actually, sorry. I take that back. November 23rd is the theatrical release, and Boxing Day is the Netflix
release. So we were all right.
Well done, Roy. Well done.
I love it. Everybody wins. So between that, Glass Onion coming out, and then this Poker Face show, there's a lot of Rian Johnson to look forward to, of murder mystery content to look forward to, and who doesn't love a Natasha Lyonne show? Like, fuck yeah, I'm ready to go with that one.
My question is, though, regarding Glass Onion, would you guys do the theatrical release?
Absolutely.
Shit, yeah.
So you're going to?
I didn't realize it was coming out so soon. The marketing need to remind me better than that. I'd see some posters up to remind me. But yes, I don't want to wait until Boxing Day to watch it.
Also, I love that. I just
especially because someone might
it.
Fucking spoil the ending for me. Yeah. Like, you want to get out there and do, which is, you know, a real upside of a murder mystery. You want to get people to go and see it. Make it something that's hugely spoilery so that people have to go and see it soon. Succession season 4 will arrive on HBO in early 2023, or spring, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, announced alongside a teaser trailer. That looked great. Like, more Succession. Can't wait for that.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Much like fellow fantasy epic The Rings of Power, HBO has indicated that The House of the Dragon won't be back on screens until 2024, though it is definitely getting a second season. And the first Avatar, The Last Airbender animated movie will release in theaters on October 10th, 2025. We have a 3-year wait ahead of us for something I've been waiting a long time for already. But it's great to have a release date and an expectation of when we'll see some of this stuff finally, and like trailers maybe in 2024.
I don't think there's any other theatrical film I'm more excited for than that. I can't
really
think of it. I don't think there's anything else that really reaches that level. Like, nothing that's coming up in the MCU, nothing that's coming up in the Star Wars universe. Like, what other franchise can you think of that has a theatrical film coming out that's more exciting than that?
I mean, it's nuts to think about a show that already does its like fight choreography so well for its like TV series. If you can get a feature film budget, man, that could be fucking great. And I love those characters in that world so much.
And the creators are back as well.
Yeah, I hope it lives up to its potential. Because like Doctor Who, Avatar has the potential to blow up as a franchise, as a property. It should be huge. It is kind of getting there bit by bit. It's like building gradually, even without any real content aside from a podcast basically at the moment. But you can just feel it building. It's, oh man, exciting. And I think we'll get the Netflix series, I guess, even though it's not by Bryke. The Netflix series, at least season 1, should arrive in between now and then. So we'll have something to tide us over.
Let's hope it's
bit.
Okay.
I hope
it might do bad things for
the
franchise.
It could.
And shit.
That's true.
It can't be any worse than the film.
Exactly. It's also worth noting that Australian company Flying Buck Productions has been tapped to animate the movie, which will follow older versions of the Aang Gang. I am not familiar with this animation company. I was a bit disappointed at first to hear that Studio Mir won't be the animation company that's doing it, because they did the vast majority of Korra, and that animation is spectacular. Mm-hmm. But Flying Buck did a bunch of the animation for the most recent 2D Ninja Turtles show. And I've not watched the show, but I've seen clips of some of the fight animation, and that's quite incredible, actually. So looking forward, while the style of that show won't be what this movie looks like, knowing that they can animate kinetic action as well as they do is very, very, very exciting. In renewal news, Heartbreak High, Netflix's revival of the Australian teen drama, is getting a second season officially, which is very exciting. I haven't watched the first season yet.
I am
so
excited
good.
About this.
That was one of those rare Australian shows that seemed to do quite well internationally. I saw a lot of people overseas who really enjoyed Heartbreak High as well. So that's awesome.
I imagine how I feel about that show is how people who in the UK felt about
Sex Education
and in America, Euphoria, loved both those shows, right? But there's just something about it being Australian that really, really got me. And I think it might be, it has the best of both of those things put together.
Yeah, it you can feel the influence from Euphoria and from Sex Education very, like, it's not subtle what they take from
them, but all in the best ways. And everyone who's in it is really great. All the kids, like, the adults and stuff as well. It's very good.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it. Like, if you haven't given it a go...
I haven't bothered yet. I haven't had the time yet. Go on.
Yeah, it will be on my, like, list of best shows of the year, I'd say.
I agree. Wow.
Speaking of Australian TV shows, just briefly, did you guys watch Bump?
No.
Nah. Cause you
especially after I heard your review.
Well, season two came out, and I didn't hear much about it. Season three... is coming soon.
The trailer for the new season, I was like, oh, that actually looks really interesting, but I'm still not going to watch it. But like, it looked like it could be good.
But its original trailer for its future seasons, that being season one, was not good. Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire was greenlit for a second season by AMC before its first season even premiered. I don't know how it's doing numbers-wise, but a lot of people are really loving that show too. I'm hearing great things.
Yeah, I wanted to watch it, but it's like on AMC, like you have to buy the AMC channel on Amazon to be able to watch it. I'm like,
yeah, I'm getting
I
a
can't
over
do
this.
Another fucking service. Like, no.
I refuse.
Yeah.
Netflix's adaptation of Neil Gaiman's comic series, The Sandman, is getting a second season. Apparently, the series was pretty expensive to make, so even though it reportedly had a lot of viewership, renewal was far from guaranteed, so that is excellent news. I've heard mostly good things about this, which has not always been the case for Neil Gaiman's TV adaptation. So
I started watching it and I was enjoying it, but it's one of those shows where I was enjoying it, but I haven't been compelled to finish the season. So I've tried to read the comics
and I just couldn't get into it. So it didn't really interest me.
Sure. Yeah. I wouldn't say the first stories are great in the Sandman comic books, but they get better from there, I think. Mm-hmm. Entry 8,406 on my list of shows I need to get around to watching. Reservation Dogs is getting a third season from FX and Hulu. Has anyone else watched Reservation Dogs?
No, but I've only heard good things.
Me too. Entry 3,232 on my list of shows I have no intention of watching. Emily in Paris is also getting a third season on Netflix.
It's Emily in Paris.
Thank you for correcting me.
Fourth season. The third season's coming out in next month.
Oh, fuck me. Maybe. I didn't look closely enough at the news, obviously.
And I'm pretty sure it was renewed for 4 and 5.
Oh, fuck off. Peacock comedy series, Girls 5 Ever, is coming back for a third season, but not on Peacock. Instead, it'll be moving to Netflix. This was a question, one I had more in there for Damas to react to, because I know she's been watching it. She's not here. Has anyone else watched Girls 5 Ever?
No. I watched the first season and I started watching the second, and I just really struggle with this show. Like, yeah, I just don't find it particularly funny.
Which is a shame for a comedy.
Yeah, but I know people love it. It's very like 30 Rock, that kind of thing. So if you vibe with 30 Rock,
Kimmy Schmidt,
but like, I like, out of the three, like, Kimmy Schmidt I really liked, but mostly because of the Titus character.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know.
In other news, after 25 years, 25 seasons, and 1,219 episodes, Ash Ketchum is finally the Pokemon World Champion. He wanted to be the very best, like no one ever was, and now he is.
Brad is so excited that you got to say that.
I am. This news just got released. The episode came out in Japan. It hasn't had its English dub yet, I don't believe. The Pokemon Company just tweeted out, yeah, Ash wins. So if you were looking forward to waiting to the English dub, too bad. But I've seen clips, and it's pretty amazing how good the animation is in that final fight that he wins too. And I will say, as someone who did watch the anime when it originally came out, because I was actually the right demographic to be watching it then, I got a little emotional watching it.
I watched it. Same thing. It has no right to make me feel the way I felt watching
it. No, it doesn't. But I was just, there was a little part of me that was a little bit, yeah, this is...
The relationship between Ash and Pikachu is still gets me. Like, I remember watching the original Pokemon movie and feeling really sad, right?
Yeah.
Crying every time. And then it evoked the same feelings for me that movie did.
Spoilers for the clip. There's a bit where, like, all of Ash's previous Pokemon, including ones he released, like Butterfree and fucking Pidgeot, showed up. I was like, oh, shit. This got me good.
As soon as, like, the first
The new Pokemon game's coming out next week, guys. I can't wait. Or end of this week. Holy shit.
The first two that look at that you see,
like, Bulbasaur and Squirtle.
Squirtle, and then it's just like, oh my god. I don't know what's happened between now since the movie and this, but I still feel something. It's weird. Well,
it's been doing the same thing.
It's not the same continuity, though,
yes,
is it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He's still 10.
He's still 10 years old. Okay. I don't know how, when he's had 1,219 episodes, suggesting at least each of them should be one day of his life, but he's still 10 years old. However, yes, it is. The continuity is the same.
And hasn't universe, he died like is... eight times or something?
He died once in a movie.
No, I think he's actually, I read that he's died
and resurrected multiple times. That might be true. I can't say I've watched all of those episodes, nor all the movies.
He deserves to be the champion.
I think the movies are sort of considered to be alternate. There are alternate, like, canons, if that makes sense. Mm. Like, they did a remake of the original, like, run of episodes into a movie that I saw when I was in Japan. No, I did see that one. That I didn't understand a word of it, but you got a Pokemon for the game by attending. So I was like, well, I'm here. I might as well. I want this Pokemon. So I watched in Japanese. It's totally. I followed enough fine with the story.
I followed. Watching that clip, I followed fine with what was going on.
Totally. But there are, like, these little spin-off things. There are other animes that aren't tied directly to the. But no, this Ash becoming the world champion is the same Ash that we saw in the very first episode when he gets Pikachu and, like, that whole thing. That's the same Ash.
That's amazing.
Which is... I mean, anime does this. One Piece has been going for thousands of episodes. So has Naruto and stuff like this. But it is quite incredible. I wonder what happens now. Is the show around Ash going to continue? Basically, every time a game comes out, they start a new season of the show where Ash goes to a new region, basically, and, like, dumps all his Pokemon except for Pikachu and then starts catching the Pokemon in the new region. Seriously, that's what happens. And
just dumps them in the...
He just puts
off
them in
the
PC.
Side of the boat when they're on their way to a new island.
The new season is going to be Ash, now that his life has no purpose, like, descending into alcoholism.
Well, here's my thought. He may be the world champion, but he still hasn't caught them all. I want to be the very best, like no one ever wants. To catch them is my real test... To train them is my cause. So his real test is to catch all the Pokemon.
The pilot.
And you should know.
The actual show.
You should know. As someone who has a living Dex, there will be over 1,000 Pokemon by the time this new game comes out. So he's got a lot of catching up to do. He definitely doesn't have one of every Pokemon.
Literally.
That's all I'm saying.
One of them won't even evolve.
Not 100% TV. That's true. Not 100% TV news, but close enough. Netflix's adaptation of Tim Minchin's musical adaptation of Roald Dahl's book Matilda will arrive on the streaming service on December 25th.
Is that the title?
It will arrive on the streaming service on December 25th. It features Emma Thompson as Miss Trunchbull and Lashana Lynch, as Miss Honey. Are you guys excited for this?
Yeah.
Because I am, because I absolutely fucking love that musical.
And those trailers make me really excited as well. Mm. I'm so excited.
Love the original movie. Musical is fun as well. So,
No, wrong way. The original movie is fun. The musical, I love. The musical is one of my top five musicals of all time. I fucking love that musical. That made me cry too, actually.
What are the other four?
Les Mis. I'm not going to do this. Hello, listeners. Broderick here. Thank you for listening to this first half of this month's Off Topic Hot Topic episode. That's right, first half. Due to the absurdly long length of the episode that Paul, Liam, and myself recorded this week, we decided to split this episode into two parts. You've now listened to part one. And if it's not out yet, return in a couple of days to hear what we've been watching. And you can hear more from the three of us on this episode of Off Topic Hot Topic. We'll be back in just a few days, so check out or look out for that in your feeds very, very soon. Thank you for listening again to Hunting Seasons. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Good night, everybody.
Absolutely.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.